Well, good morning, church. We are so blessed to be with you today. I'm Ethan LaCroix, my wife Bethany here, and our three youngins are somewhere around this property, I know. And we are just blessed to be at the great Beacon Baptist Church. Pastor, I've heard I come to South Florida, and I run into the Andrews every time I'm here, and I have heard so much about your church, and we are just so grateful to be here, and thank you for letting us be here. You've treated us so royally, and we're just excited to serve the Lord. We enjoy South Florida. We do. You have a lot of water and a lot of sand down here, and we don't have a lot of that where we are in Central Alabama, and so we love every chance we get to come and have just made some precious friends, and we're excited to be with you, and I'm excited to preach on Mother's Day. I really am. Now, I'll confess to you, Pastor, I was asked to preach this morning. I thought, boy, that'd be great, you know, and then it hit me yesterday afternoon. Wait, today is Mother's Day, and I better preach a Mother's Day message, or I will get in trouble with my mom, and I'm sure she'll tune in at some point today. And so I'm just so excited to be with you and have enjoyed getting to know your pastor and your people. And yesterday was a great day, church. It was. Our heart, boy, I was waiting on some hands to go up. I wanted to see some of those young men get saved. But you know what? We're going to leave that in the Lord's hands, aren't we? And I know your church will continue to reach out to those young men. And it was just a great day. And so we're blessed, very blessed to get to be a part. You got your Bible there in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter number 10. I'm excited about these scriptures this morning. You know, Abraham Lincoln, one of our great presidents of the past, said this. He said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." Well, I think that's true, isn't it? You know, as I was thinking, there's really not a price tag that you can put on having a good mom, is there? I want to say before I begin today, I realize as I preach on Mother's Day that many of you, Mother's Day, while it brings some great joys, for some of us it can bring some tears. It can bring some hardships. I'll tell my mom happy Mother's Day today, but her mom is in heaven. In fact, just wondering, how many of you have a mom who is in heaven today? Just curious. A great number of you. And I tell you what, on days like this, you miss them, don't you? You miss getting to spend time with them. I realize for some maybe in the room that you lost your mom at a young age, or maybe your mom did not know the Lord. But today we're going to talk about being a godly mother. And there's no price tag you can put on having a godly mother. Maybe we could say it like this. Doing the laundry, $500. Cleaning up messes, in our house, $700. Cooking meals, $1,000. But having a godly mother, that'd be priceless, wouldn't it? You just can't put a price tag on it. Think about all you learn from a mother. Well, you learn to walk, and you learn to talk, and you learn how to feed yourself, and all those important things. One man kind of put it humorously this way about the things he had learned from his mother. He said, "My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She would tell us, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning." He went on to say, "My mother taught me about religion. She would say, you better pray that's going to come out of the carpet." He said, "My mother taught me about time travel. She said, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week." He said, "My mother taught me about logic. She said, because I said so, that's why." I tell you what, we learn a lot from our mothers, don't we? You know, church, I want to say I'm thankful for a faith that, unlike other faiths around the world, does not demean women. There's a special place in God's heart for the women of the Bible, isn't there? In fact, I was just thinking this morning about the great women of the Bible that God used. I thought about a young Jewish girl named Esther. Boy, how God used her to deliver her entire people, her nation, from a wicked, wicked plot. I thought about God using a young lady in the Garden of Eden to provide for the human race and to multiply. Thought about God using a woman. This is one of my favorites. God using a woman to drive a tent stake through the enemy's head. Boy, I think that story's kind of fun. Good Sunday school lesson there. You know, the boys get excited about that. And I thought about God used a woman to do that. Kind of humorous, but he did. God used a woman to bring his own precious son into this world. Isn't that wonderful? And oh, how his son cherished his mother. God used a group of ladies to be the first to discover an empty tomb. And then to go back and tell those disciples to put some hope back in their hearts. God used women to do that. God has a special place, a special purpose for the women of the Bible. Two of the women that played a special role in the life of Jesus are found in Luke chapter 10. And Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And, you know, I don't know why, but the Lord Jesus, while he was here on earth, developed a special relationship with them, didn't he? And he would often visit them. In fact, in the last week of his life, he's going to go back and forth between Bethany and Jerusalem. And no doubt he'll visit Mary and he'll visit Martha. They're very special ladies to him. And through the account that we come to this morning in Luke chapter 10, this account where Jesus visits Lazarus and Mary and Martha, I think we can learn some important lessons about the importance of being a godly woman. Now, I want to say to you today, I realize as I look around, I don't have any trouble telling that there are not just women in the room. There are many men in the room this morning. Can I tell you, aren't you thankful that God's word is applicable to all of us this morning? And men, even as we talk about some of these attributes of what it takes to be a godly mom or a godly woman, it's true that for us, we need those attributes in our life as well. And notice with me, sometimes we give Martha a bad rap, don't we? Sometimes we read this story and we're quick to jump on her. But I think, church, that there's really three different characteristics that I can see in these women this morning that I'd say, you know what, if they were in our lives, it'd be okay. If they were in a mother's lives, this would make her a pretty godly, a pretty good mother. Notice with me this morning, three lessons that we learned from Mary and Martha and their Mother's Day message, if we could call it that this morning. Notice, first of all, we learn that a godly mother serves the Lord faithfully. Did you notice that? Look at verse number 38 again. Luke chapter 10, if you're in God's word there. Notice verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She was hospitable. She welcomed him in. And notice verse 40, what Martha busied herself with. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha was one of those ladies, she always had to be doing something. At least that's the picture that we get. Always had to be cleaning something, always had to be fixing something. This is my grandmother, I'm going to tell you. We for years and years, we go to Granny's house to eat. And when I say granny, and you think of a typical Southern granny, that's my grandma. I'm telling you, homemade biscuits and dumplings and all those things that make you fat and kill you young. You know, all of those things. That's my grandmother, I'm telling you. And when we go to my grandmother's house, it's amazing. My wife can testify. Granny, when everybody sits down to eat, she can't do it. I mean, there's something that needs doing, you know? Something needs cleaning, something needs fixed. The rolls will burn, you know, if she sits down for a few seconds. And so she's always busy. This was Martha. Martha was serving. And, you know, Martha maybe got her priorities out of line at times, but can I tell you, it is commendable to serve the Lord faithfully. It's commendable. And I tell you, a godly mother serves the Lord faithfully. A godly woman not only serves her family, she serves the Lord. And you know, oftentimes she serves the Lord by serving her family. Let me give you a few thoughts about serving the Lord faithfully. I believe, church, that Martha, as she served the Lord faithfully, she did it from her heart. She did it from her heart. As she welcomed Jesus in, it was because she loved him. She cared about him. She knew who he was. As she baked those meals and she tried to make sure the table was set just perfectly and all those things, she did it from her heart. This wasn't just a service from her hands. It was service from her heart. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to serve the Lord from our heart. Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. 1 Samuel echoes this, chapter 12 and verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. You know, Mom, can I tell you that as you serve your home, aren't you thankful that you can also serve the Lord through doing that? You serve the Lord. You do it with your heart. We ought to do that. I was looking up Mother's Day's poems. Boy, there's some doozies out there, I'm telling you. And one of the ones that I found this morning, I thought it was a little bit relatable to us, and it kind of describes all that a mother does. And so I'll read it to you this morning. Baby dolls and dinosaurs, one that cries and one that roars. The pitter-patter of little feet, a bike race in which they want you to compete. Fruity pebbles, pancakes, no weight. A Pop-Tart, these daily moments that still your heart. One throws tantrums, the other just pouts. Ah, the joys of motherhood, what life is all about. Another birthday, two paychecks and all. But it is worth it with smiling memories in the wall. From late night tears to early morning grumps, through all the bruises, scrapes, and bumps, the laughter, the memories, those looks in their eyes, never trade it for anything, never compromise. The toys left out, the clothes on the floor, there are moments we mothers live for we are the ones who are there through it all to always make it better and pick them up when they fall. From kissing their boo-boos and making sure they're fed, passing down stories while tucking them into bed, through the weight gain, the cravings, the labor, and more, to that one special moment we spend 9 months waiting for. 18 years is what they say, but our work is never done. A lifetime of tears, laughter, sadness, and fun. Nothing in the world can even come close to the one special bond God made for most. A relationship only two certain people can share, a mother and her child. Nothing will ever compare. You know, a mother's work is never done, is it? And aren't you thankful for Martha? I look at her and I say, here's a woman who served Jesus, but she didn't do it because she had to. She did it because she wanted to. She loved him, and she served from her heart. No, notice a godly mother, as she serves the Lord faithfully, not only does she do it from her heart, church, but she does it in her home, in her home. Can I tell you, church, I'm thankful and was very blessed to have a very godly mother. My mother was a nurse, and while we were young, she would go to work, and when we got old enough, she stayed in the house. And boy, it was amazing that her job was never done. Just seemed like the house is never clean, is it, ladies? And you mess it up, you clean it up so they can mess it up. And you cook so that you can clean. And just always. And yet, Martha's just serving the Lord in her home. It's never done. So often, a mom is late to retire to her sleep and early to rise to her work. She's cooking, she's cleaning, she's caring for all that needs to be done. But you know what? This is the work that a mom is called to, isn't it? So often she enjoys doing. John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll look at some more verses by Mary and Martha and find these different occasions in them. John chapter 12, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Martha was just busy serving, busy serving. Mom, can I maybe encourage you a little bit today that as you serve your kids and you serve your husband, you can serve the Lord. And you can do it faithfully. You don't have to complain. You don't have to gripe. It is hard. It is difficult. But know that this is eternal work. This is God's work. It's what he's called you to. And so a godly mother serves in her home. Titus chapter 2. Paul is giving some advice to the older women as they're teaching the younger women. He says this, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous woman, the godly mother. And here's what it says. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I heard about a husband who got his wife a Mother's Day gift, and it came to be on the list of the worst Mother's Day gift. He got her an iron. Now, guys, if you did that, I mean, I'm not judging you, but you may want to get her something else this morning, right? And take her on that two-hour wait this morning. The pastor talked about it. So he got her an iron, and he finally figured out that his wife didn't have very much appreciation for the gift because Father's Day rolled around, and he got an ironing board. I tell you what, a mother's work is never done in the home. She's serving the Lord faithfully from her heart. She's doing it in her home. And I don't want to take the scripture out of context this morning, but I do think we could find in other places in scripture that a godly mother, not only does she serve in her home, but she also serves in God's house. I think about our church pastor, and I think about what our church would be like without the ladies in our church that do so many things that if the men tried to do them would just be a disaster. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for nursery workers. I'm thankful for the ladies that come in and decorate and make the Lord's house look beautiful and put the banquets on and those things. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. We find a character that's kind of in the Christmas story to me. In fact, if you're in the book of Luke, just skip on over there with me, if you will. Luke chapter 2, it's a lady named Anna. You know, we don't put Anna in our nativity scenes for a reason. She wasn't there at the nativity, but she does kind of play a part in these early days and weeks of Jesus' life. And in Luke chapter 2, it tells us about this widow named Anna. She was a godly woman, and she was godly because she served in the Lord's house. Notice Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who she was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. You get the picture. For a long time, she had been a widow. And notice what happened, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Here's a lady this morning that gets 3 verses in the Bible. 3 verses. But boy, they're precious verses. They're testimony verses about a lady that God thought much of. You know why, church? Because she served in the Lord's house. She was a widow. Lonely at times. Can you imagine? She's been a widow for dozens and dozens of years. And yet in these years of her life, what she did, instead of just sitting lonely and kind of letting the years fly by, she went to the house of God and found a place to serve. She went to the temple and she looked for people who looked like they needed Jesus. And when they were looking, she was there to tell them. You know, a godly woman serves the Lord faithfully. You know, I want to say a godly Christian serves the Lord faithfully. Man, this ought to be true for all of us. We serve the Lord in our home too, don't we? We serve our children. We serve our wife. We find a place to serve in God's house. Notice the second lesson with me this morning. As we think about Mary and Martha, what we can learn from godly women and godly ladies here. Not only does a godly woman serve the Lord faithfully, but secondly, church, a godly woman sits at the Lord's feet. Notice Martha, she's serving, but notice where we find Mary. And this is not the only time in the Bible we find Mary here, but notice verse number 39. And she had a sister, Luke chapter 11, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Can I tell you that a godly mother knows that it's important to take time to sit at Jesus' feet? This is Mary. It's what she does. She loves to worship her Lord. She loves to sit and just listen as he teaches and listen as he works in people's hearts and lives. And a godly mother does this. In fact, a godly mother makes sitting at Jesus' feet her priority. This was Mary's priority. Was there, without any doubt, there was things that needed to be done. There's always things that need to be done. I mean, there was food that needed prepared. There was chores that needed to be done. And yet for Mary, church, this was a priority of her life. She had to be with Jesus. She had to find time to hear his word. You know, for us, it ought to be a priority of our life, shouldn't it? John chapter 12, verse 3, then took Mary, this same Mary, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary had a sweet fellowship with Jesus. She had a preciousness of him so much that she would take this ointment, a year's worth, a year's salary had costed her of this ointment, and break it and pour it upon Jesus. It was precious to her to sit at Jesus' feet. Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land. I'm reminded of the verse, the psalmist said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Mom, can I just remind you, can I tell you that one of the greatest things you will ever do for your family is to daily sit at Jesus' feet? One of the highest priorities that you can have as a mom, as a wife, is to sit at Jesus' feet. Dad, can I tell you this morning that one of the greatest things that you can do for your wife and one of the greatest things you can do for your family, and honestly, one of the greatest things you can do for your church, is to sit at Jesus' feet, to come into his word and into his presence every day and say, God, I want to grow. I want to know you more. Would you shape me and mold me and make me? This was a priority for Mary. Hey, children, teens in the room this morning, one of the greatest things you can do for your mom, for your dad, is to sit at Jesus' feet. Some of you have come to church this morning, no doubt, for your mother. What a great thing to do. What a great gift to give your mom, to come sit at church, sit under the preaching of the word of God, show her I care about the things of God. This was her priority. Not only was it her priority, but it was her prerequisite. This came before anything else. Can I just tell you, moms, this is hard, isn't it? Life is so busy. Life is so busy. There's so much that needs to be done, not just in the home, but outside the home. And there's always appointments, and there's school and events and all those things. But for Mary, this came before anything else. John chapter 11, again, verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Her brother Lazarus had just died, and yet the first thing that Mary wants to do is come fall at Jesus' feet. It was a prerequisite for her. It came before anything else. Moms, can I encourage you, keep Jesus above everything else in your life. You know what, sports have their place and school has its place and all those things, but make sure your children know, hey, listen, in our home, Jesus is first. Dad, can I encourage you in your marriage, in your home, in your family, make sure your kids know, hey, listen, I know we got the ball game on Sunday, but you know what, we got church. We got to go to church. I mean, that's our priority. That's our prerequisite. It comes before anything else. Jesus is first in our home. He's first in our marriage. He's first in our life. She sat at Jesus' feet. It was her priority. It was her prerequisite. Thirdly, it was her source of power. This is where Mary got the strength to go on. This is where Mary found what she needed for each and every day. Theodore Roosevelt said this. He said, praying mothers are America's greatest assets. I had a mother that prayed for me. I was a teenager. I went away from the Lord. I've been saved as a 13-year-old teenager. I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knew I was sure to my salvation, but I spent a lot of years kind of wondering, kind of straying. And I remember the times that I'd come in and my mom be weeping. My mom be crying because she'd been praying for me. Moms, I can't tell you the days that we would leave for school. We had to leave early for school. We had to drive all the way to Birmingham, and we lived a ways away from school. And I knew on Mondays, Monday was usually my mom's day, that my mom took that entire morning to fast and to pray for her children. She wouldn't eat anything. She spent time praying. Boy, I'm thankful that a godly mother, our mom, she knew the Lord. She would pray because she knew her kids needed the Lord. Her family needed the Lord. This was her source of power. Godly moms know they need something more powerful than Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, okay? They know that they need something bigger than the helps on social media or on the news. Godly moms know they need Jesus. And their kids need Jesus. And they need time with Jesus. And they need to seek his face and sit at his feet. John chapter 11. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Interestingly enough, Martha needed a miracle. Her brother was dead. You know who she came to? The one that could provide the miracle. Can I tell you, Mom, you may be in the room this morning and you're heartbroken over your children. You have children that are away from the Lord. You have children that are straying. You have children that are wandering. You have children that are not what you desired them to be or even what you raised them to be. Can I tell you, go to Jesus this morning because he can help them. I have a brother that's away from the Lord, been away from the Lord for many, many years, and I can't tell you the times that my mom's just gone to the Lord praying, burdened about him, and we've gone to the Lord. Can I tell you, Jesus can bring the prodigal home. Maybe your marriage needs healing this morning. Go to Jesus. Sit at his feet. It's where you find healing. You find the provision that you need. You know, church, oftentimes we're so busy, so quick to go to social media or go to some help or some counselor, and there's place for those things. But may we first make it our priority to go to Jesus. Make it your prerequisite, Mom, before you do anything in the day, to sit and say, Lord, I need you today. I need strength today. We need bills paid today, Lord. We need you to touch our children and work in their hearts and lives. Church, to find ourselves at Jesus' feet is to find ourselves at the most important place that we could ever be, the cross of Christ. It is there we're reminded of the sacrifice that he's made for us, and it's there that we find everything that we need for our day. So I ask you this morning and challenge you, how long has it been since you sat and just had fellowship with your Jesus? Outside of church, how long has it been since you just opened his word and said, God, I need you in my home today. God, I need you in my marriage today. God, I need you for my kids today. And Lord, I just want to have fellowship. I just want you to speak to me and strengthen me. As we learn from these two ladies, these godly ladies. And to be honest with you, the Bible's not clear if they were ever married or ever had children, but I do think they were godly ladies. And had they had children, had they had husbands, I think they would have been godly wives and godly children. We learn that a godly woman, a godly mom serves the Lord faithfully, and a godly woman sits at Jesus' feet. And then I'll give you one more thought, and we'll be done this morning. In Mary and Martha, as we look at their lives and we look at this passage, Martha is serving. We ought to be serving. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And we ought to be sitting at Jesus' feet at times. I think there's a third thought that comes from these two ladies, and that is that a godly mother spends her life fruitfully. Notice verse 40, if you're in Luke chapter 10, and notice verse 40. So Martha's busy. The Bible says she was cumbered about much serving and came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But notice what Jesus says, church, verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Can I tell you, church, and I've already mentioned it, that what a godly mother spends her time on and invests her life into is eternal. It's eternal. It lasts forever, and a godly mother understands that. How does she do this? How does she spend her life fruitfully? Well, she does it by foregoing some earthly things. Can I tell you, watching my wife become a mother, we have three kids. We have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a drool monster who is a 1-year-old. And we love our kids. They're so fun. I mean, life is just crazy, isn't it? And life on the road in a, 44-foot trailer is a little bit of insanity, But we love it. And I have learned watching my mother that one of the great things, moms, that I have learned to appreciate about my mother is not necessarily all that she did for me, although she did so much. But one of the things I've learned to appreciate about my mother is all that she gave up for me. I watch my mom, my wife at times, and I think, boy, when I'm going out and I'm fellowshipping, sometimes she's staying home to rear the children. When I get to go out and enjoy fellowship with a pastor, go out to eat and enjoy those nice meals and all those things, sometimes my wife has to stay back to put a kid down for a nap so he doesn't lose his mind, and those things. And I tell you what, a godly mother understands that there's some things worth giving up so she can invest in her children. And she can invest in her husband, and she can invest in her home. That she may not have all the physical things of everybody, but that's okay because it's the spiritual things that matter to her. And she's willing to give up some of those physical things so that she can invest in the eternal things. John chapter 12, verse 4, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. This is after Mary had broken the box. And Judas, he criticizes her. He says, why was this ointment sold? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear that was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I can't even describe to you adequately the sacrifice physically that Mary made when she broke that box and laid it on Jesus. But here's what I know. She was willing to give up earthly things for Jesus. And a godly mother, hey, wait a minute, a godly father does that. A godly person, a godly teen. We talked this morning about Romans 12, 1 and 2 in our teen class. You know what? A godly person says, Jesus, I'll die to myself. I'll give up some things so that I can serve you. She spends her life fruitfully by forgoing earthly things. She spends her life fruitfully by focusing on eternal things. I'll say this to you this morning. She forgoes stuff to focus on her Savior. She forgoes fame and fortune to focus on being faithful. She forgoes some worldly friendships even to focus on her family. She forgoes temporal things to focus on eternal things. When I think about a godly mother, I think about these words. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Moms, can I say this? You may feel like you don't have many earthly treasures here on earth, but a godly mother, I believe, will have many treasures in heaven. That's where it matters. No doubt that's where it matters. 2 Timothy chapter 1, when I call to remembrance the unfaithful faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, you're here because you had a godly mom. You're here because you had a godly grandmother, somebody who loved Jesus and pointed you in that direction. I want to take just a minute to say, on days like these, and Pastor pointed out, there's not much we can do. It's kind of a feeble attempt, but if you had a godly mother, you should be thankful for her. If you had a mother that brought you to church, and you had a mother that taught you about Jesus, you had a mother that was willing to apply the rod of correction in your life at times and was willing to correct you and steer you to the Lord, then we ought to be thankful for that on this day and really thankful for that every day. Again, there was a time when President Abraham Lincoln had a soldier in his army who wasn't thankful for his mother, and so he called the soldier, and it's a true illustration. He asked the major in his army if he was thankful for his mother. Had he checked on her? The major said, sure, she's doing fine. She's doing fine. President Abraham Lincoln turned. He said, well, how do you know? You haven't written her, but she has written me. The major was kind of taken back, kind of shocked back there that his mother had taken time to write the President of the United States. And so he went on. The president said, she thinks that you're dead, and she's asking that a special effort be made to return your body. You know, I hope that would not be true about us today, that our mother doesn't know enough about us to know whether we're alive or dead this morning, but she ought to hear from us. May we say thank you. I want to say for all of us in the room, there are a lot of things maybe that you can't be, but you can be godly. You can be. You can make a difference in somebody's life, and it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I ask you this morning, do you know that you're saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? You know, one of the great things about traveling in evangelism, I don't know who's who this morning. I don't know how many of you have been here for 50 years and how many have been here for 50 minutes, okay? And I don't know your faces this morning, but really it doesn't make a difference. All of us are in need of a Savior, aren't we? You're a sinner this morning, just as I am, and that sin separates us from God. I can't get to heaven. If God were allowing me to have into heaven with sin in my heart, heaven wouldn't be perfect anymore. You wouldn't want to go there anymore. So God did something about that. He sent his son Jesus to die for your sin. And the only way into heaven, the only way to have forgiveness of sins, the Bible says that if we'll believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and if we'll confess with our mouth that he's Lord, that we'll be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you this morning that if you don't know for sure you'll die and go to heaven, you can know that this morning. You can be saved this morning. You may have come to church just because your mom this morning. I'll make mom happy. I'll go to church. I'll appease her again another year, and we'll go out to eat. And so you just came for that this morning. Can I tell you one of the greatest gifts that you could give your mom this morning is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to be saved. Teens, do you know Jesus as your Savior? You come to a good church, it's a good church. You've heard the gospel many times. But being a godly person starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you don't know Him today, can I just tell you, He's willing. The Bible says that all that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. You can know Christ as your Savior today. But can I ask you this morning? If you do know Christ, and whether you're a mom this morning really or not, if you know Him, are you serving Him faithfully? Are you serving Him faithfully? You know, I think in a lot of ways, COVID gave us an excuse, a bad one at that, to be unfaithful. May we this morning serve God faithfully. Serve Him in your home, mom. Serve Him in your home, dad. Serve Him in your home, teen. I dare you, shock your mom today. Wash the dishes, all right? I dare you. And after you pick her up off, after you pick her up off the floor, she'll be thankful, okay? But serve. Serve the Lord faithfully. How are you serving the Lord in God's house? I dare say if you came to pastor this morning and said, Pastor, I'm burdened. I'm not doing enough, and I want somewhere to serve. I don't think his answer would be this morning, well, we don't have a place for you. There's always room. There's always a place. There's always a door that needs held. There's always somebody that needs visited. There's always a meal that needs cooked. Always a class that needs attended to. Serve the Lord faithfully. Boy, Martha teaches us that. Can I ask you this morning, are you sitting at his feet daily? Are you sitting at his feet daily? Church, can I tell you, it'll be the greatest thing you'll do for your marriage, the greatest thing you could do for your family. Yesterday, we went up to a surprise birthday party for a pastor at a Martin County Baptist church, the Welkers, that we become dear friends with. And one of the gentlemen was telling me, he said recently he had an injury and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And so instead of working, he had to be laid up. And he said, Ethan, he said, one of the things that we did, me and my wife started reading the Bible together. And he told me this, church, his words, he said, it has totally changed our marriage. Can I tell you, church, mom, one of the greatest things you could do is just have a real, authentic, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Just sit at his feet. Take time out of your busy day to sit at Jesus' feet. Are you doing that? And then can I ask you finally this morning, are you spending your life fruitfully? Are you investing in eternity? Are you teaching your kids about Jesus, making sure they're in church, and making sure they know Christ as their Savior, making sure they're staying away from sin and staying into things that are godly? Are you spending your life fruitfully? I have a dear lady that I pray for. It would be my pastor, who's my uncle. It would be his mother-in-law. And as we drive by their exit, she lives just south of Chattanooga. And oftentimes I drive by her exit, and I stop and pray for her. Her name is Miss Sanford, and she's well up in years. Miss Sanford lost her husband several years ago, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe longer than that. And she's up in years. But one of the things I pray for Miss Sanford, she's a godly woman. Man, she loves Jesus, and probably some of your ages that are sitting in the room. And one of the things I pray for Miss Sanford, I pray, Lord, give her fruitful days of her life. Can I speak just a moment to the older women in the room? Can I just say, God has a plan for you. He wants to use you. Look around at some of these young moms. Boy, they need your help. I'm going to tell you. My wife is one. I know oftentimes we need help. We need wisdom. We need someone to just reach across and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I care about you. You're doing a good job. Are you spending your life fruitfully? Here are some Mother's Day lessons that we learned from Martha and Mary. And men, can I say, aren't they good for us too? Can't we learn from these women to be faithful, to be fruitful, to serve the Lord and sit at the Lord's feet? My prayer this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that you'll know Him. And if you do know Jesus, mothers, I just pray God will encourage your heart this morning. Keep serving. Keep serving. Keep sitting. Keep sitting at His feet and keep spending your life in a fruitful way. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. God, I want to thank you for a godly mother. I don't know that I'd be here today without her, and I'm so thankful for her. Lord, I'm thankful as I preach this morning. I know that there are many mothers in the room who love Jesus, many mothers in the room who want to see their children do right, many mothers, Lord, who spent countless hours investing in their children and reading the Bible to their children and praying for their children. God, I pray that this church would be filled with godly moms who have godly homes and godly marriages. Lord, I thank you for Mary and Martha, for the testimony that they gave us of how to live a life that counts. Lord, I pray that your people this morning, we would learn to serve you faithfully. Maybe there's a mom this morning that's just discouraged, just downtrodden. God, life's just hard and some things haven't gone the way she planned. But God, I pray that you'd encourage her just to keep going, just keep pressing on, just keep serving. For the older women in the room, God, encourage them. There's still a place. There's still time. There's still a purpose. They can serve the Lord faithfully. God, help us today to learn to sit at your feet. Lord, as life gets busy, it seems like this can get pushed out the back door. But Father, help us to know that this ought to be a priority, ought to be a prerequisite in our life. Lord, this is our source of power. When we sit at your feet and we spend time with Jesus and we make sure that we are who we need to be so that we can be the wife and the husband and the mom and dad that we can be. Father, help us this morning to spend our life fruitfully. Lord, we want to live a life that counts. So whether our children are good at sports or whether they have all the things of the world, Lord, we want to make sure they know Jesus. We want to make sure that they know who you are and that they ought to live for you. Lord, maybe there's someone this morning, even in a room this size, that does not know you as their personal Savior. Maybe they came just for a mom today, just to honor them. Lord, what a wonderful thing. But it'd be even greater this morning if they came to know you as their Savior. And that's our heart this morning. God, I pray that nothing in the world would keep them from responding. Nothing in the world would keep them from receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior this morning. Father, do your work in our hearts and lives. I wonder, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment this morning. If God's dealing with your heart, in just a moment I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor. We'll have a moment to respond. If God's dealing with you about serving him or maybe an area of faithfulness or sitting at his feet or spending your life in a fruitful manner, we'll give time for that. But I wonder, in the room this morning on a Mother's Day Sunday, there'd be a man or woman who'd say, you know what, preacher, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I don't know Jesus as my Savior this morning. I'm not assured if I died today that heaven would be my home, but I do know that I want to know that. I'd like someone to just share with me how I can know that today. I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Preacher, don't embarrass me, but would you pray for me this morning? Can I tell you that's my heart's intent? I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world, but I would like to know how to pray for you. Would there be anyone in the room this morning and say, you know, preacher, that's my heart. I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I do want to know. I want to know heaven will be my home someday. Preacher, would you just pray for me? Would there be anybody like that who would just slip a hand up and say, that's my heart this morning. Preacher, pray for me. I'm a guest. I'm a visitor. I'm a teen this morning. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. But would you just pray for anyone like that at all? Don't want to miss you this morning. Don't want to miss you this morning. Anyone at all like that? Can I tell you this morning again, if you don't know Christ, you can. And if God's dealing with your heart this morning about serving him, moms, maybe you're discouraged. You've got a son, a daughter away from the Lord. God can encourage you this morning. Just stay faithful. Be fruitful. Lord, encourage your people this morning. If there's a man, there's a woman that's discouraged, that's maybe gotten away from sitting at your feet, gotten away from that daily fellowship, Lord, bring them back in. Bring them back to yourself this morning. Father, do your work in our hearts and lives as we take just a moment, Father, to respond to what you're doing in our hearts and lives. God, you do your work, and we pray this in your name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.